From punitive strikes to possible ground war, Iran's campaign enters dangerous new phase. What began as a targeted American air campaign against Iran's southern coastal regions has expanded into a broader military operation, with U.S. forces now striking targets in northern Iran and the Navy actively enforcing a reimposed naval blockade in the Persian Gulf. On day 5 of the campaign, U.S. forces disabled a tanker attempting to breach that blockade, the first concrete test of whether the cordon is real or merely performative. The answer, it appears, is real. The signals emerging from Washington are, by any measure, contradictory. Vice President J.D. Vance used an appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast to warn explicitly that hawkish Republicans pushing to derail a U.S.-Iran deal risked triggering a massive refugee crisis into Western Europe and potentially enabling terrorism, calling such an outcome catastrophic. Yet reporting simultaneously indicates that President Trump is personally leaning toward deploying ground troops as the strikes intensify. The administration, in effect, is publicly arguing with itself. Tehran has added a diplomatic grenade to the mix, claiming it warned Vance directly that Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff were, in Iran's words, abusing the peace talks. Whether accurate or a strategic leak designed to exploit perceived divisions in the American negotiating posture, the claim has surfaced a fracture that Iran clearly sees as useful. Vance further complicated the diplomatic picture by accusing Israel of actively funding a campaign to derail the Iran deal, a sitting vice president publicly accusing an ally of sabotaging American diplomacy. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper, speaking at the Aspen Security Forum, challenged the foundational premise of the air campaign. Continued bombing, he argued, will not change Tehran's fundamental behavior. His case rests on decades of American air power use in the Middle East. Infrastructure can be destroyed, personnel killed, operations disrupted, but the political calculus of a government determined to survive is not so easily altered. The historical record of the 1990s Iraq bombing campaigns, which did not change Saddam Hussein's behavior in any fundamental way, lends that argument considerable weight. The naval blockade, proponents argue, adds an economic dimension absent from prior campaigns, denying Iran the oil export revenues that fund the Revolutionary Guard and its proxy networks. But critics note that for this pressure to succeed, Iran would need to have no meaningful workarounds, no accumulated reserves, and no support from countries like China or Russia with an interest in keeping Iranian oil flowing. Whether those conditions are met remains at best unverified.